This is Kale and Company on The Pulse. Ken is off.
Sitting in for Ken today is Tom Raffio.
Welcome back to Ken, Kale and Company. Tom Raffio, as you just heard, sitting in for Ken. And of course, when I sit in for Ken, I always have a plethora of guests. In the first hour, we had Dave Cowens, Hall of Fame basketball player and Hall of Fame person. We co-authored a book together called There Are No Do-Overs. It's a book on leadership. You can get that on Amazon.com. And then Renee Plummer, who does a great job with Veterans Count and really wants to make sure veterans reach out to Veterans Count if they're have any issues. I know veterans have a hard time with that because generally they're the ones that are providing service. And then we had Dr. Shannon Mills talk about our health through our wellness program powered by the Previsor software company, you know, that we just purchased. So it's been an interesting 2 hours, and momentarily I will introduce my two guests, and we'll be talking about the race at Loon Mountain on this Sunday. But before I do, I just want to give a big shout out to Roots at Robie's. People know Robie's, and people know to look for the cafe and catering as well as where they're located. They locally source all their meats and produce all summer long, never processed or frozen. They work with local farmers. They're always looking for unique and local products to showcase in their store and encourage people to contact them if they have something they want to sell. So they'll cater any events. It's Robie's Country Store, and they're currently actually looking for qualified customer service help and kitchen and catering help. The town of Hooksett's Farmers Market will resume at Robie's Country Store on July 13th, Wednesday, 3:30 to 6:30. And anybody interested should call 485-7761. So as mentioned, with me are two really cool guys. I actually saw them at the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race, and they're the co-race directors for the race this Sunday in Loon. The Loon Mountain Race, and it's Chris Dunn, who is also the founder of Acidotic Racing, and Paul Kirsch. So, Paul and Chris, thank you for joining me. I know, based on your Facebook, you, I think, have just finished flagging the course. So, let's start with the very beginning. Just tell us from A to Z why this is such a prestigious race, and then some basic information. If there's an interested runner out there that wants to, in effect, register on the fly on Sunday, you know, whether they can do that. So, Chris or Paul, take it away.
Hey, Tom. Thanks so much for having us on. This is Paul. One of the really fun things to me about running and mountain running in particular is, if you're watching a football game or a basketball game, you don't get to participate with the top runners in your sport. And you know from yourself, from running at Mount Washington, that you get to start in the same field as the best mountain runners in the country and sometimes even in the world.
And get to eat lunch with them, too. It's really cool.
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly. And so we're really excited. This year, the Loon Mountain Race is the U.S. Mountain Running Championships. Every year, there's a qualifying race to go to the World Mountain Running Championships, which typically has been in Europe. It's sometimes been in the U.S. as well. This year, it's actually in Bulgaria in September. So this year, the Loon Race is the qualifier for that World Championship team that will go over in September. So because of that, besides the regular field, we also have some incredibly talented runners from around the country that are here to race at Loon. And the top six men and the top four women will make the mountain running team that will go to Bulgaria. But they'll all start in the same field as anybody else in the race, which is kind of cool. And, you know, if you ever get a chance to talk to any of them, one of the things I love about mountain runners and trail runners is they're all down-to-earth people, and they're just out to have fun. And I think whether somebody's in the front of the race or the back of the race, you're going to have fun and you're going to be challenged on this course.
That's really cool, and you're absolutely right. I'll definitely support that. Is that you're lining up against these really nationally acclaimed people such as Joe Gray, who now has won the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race 2 years in a row. So my understanding is Joe will be at this race on Sunday. Is that correct?
Hey Tom, yeah, this is Chris. Joe Gray is here. As a matter of fact, Paul and I saw him earlier this afternoon at the venue previewing the course with some of his buddies. So we're we're certainly excited for Joe to be back. Joe was here 2 years ago when he won the U.S. Mountain Running Championship. And we're thrilled to death that he's back here again to defend his Loon Mountain Race title, so to speak.
And he's a really cool guy. I didn't run 2 years ago, but I was there when he finished. And last year and this year, in terms of the Northeast Delta Mount Washington Road Race, we had a video and using drones. And I have to tell you, he's one of the few runners that make the mountain running, when you see the film, it almost looks like he's running on flat territory. He has this incredible gift. Obviously, and we talked about this with Dave Cowens, these great athletes, whether it's basketball players or runners, they're incredibly gifted, but they also really work hard on it. And I don't know what your observation, but Joe seems to have this unbelievable way of just running as if it's flat when obviously it's not. That's my observation, Joe. And he's a great guy too.
Yeah, and actually, Tom, I think I saw the video you were mentioning. There was one that Joe Vigier took, one of the photographers for the race, and I saw that, and all I was thinking was his form's better running uphill than mine is on flat.
Exactly, Chris. Exactly what I was thinking. If you see this, you would not believe that he's running up this grade, except that when you then see all the other runners, even some of the other elite runners, you can tell that it's somewhat of a challenge or struggle even to get up. But with Joe, it's just he's floating up there, and as Paul knows, he's one of the only handful of people ever who run the Mount Washington in less than an hour. So tell us a little bit more about this race. Obviously, there's a trail component. I love to ski, so I've skied down Walking Boss a lot. I've never run up it, and Ellen, my fiance, is asking me to run this year. So I hope you guys, you guys wait for me at the end. But in any event, I do plan to do it. But tell us about the. I know Dave Dunham, famous New Hampshire runner, has kind of mapped out the course, and on your Facebook page, it's there. But maybe give us some information on the actual running, and then if you could answer my question, if we piqued someone's interest, could they actually still register at this point, or is it sold out?
I was going to say, Tom, this is Paul. You can actually register day of. Online registration is closed, but you can register day of. I think it starts at 6:30 in the morning, 6 a.m., because the men start at 8 a.m. and the women start at 9 a.m. And actually, this is now, I believe, the second biggest mountain race in the East after Mount Washington. We have 550 pre-registered, and we are expecting at least another 50 on day of. But yeah, anyone can do it. And you have people, we have people who are going to be literally 10 years old doing it to people in their 70s doing it. And, you have that top competitive field, which might be the top 50 people, but then there's a bunch of people that are just really having fun. You had mentioned some of the Upper Walking Boss and some of the other parts of the course. It is a combination of running on the service road. If you've ever been over at Loon in the summer, you can hike here, take the gondola, kind of wander around. It's a combination on the service road. Then there's some in kind of single track section. And then you go up a section of Ski Mountain. You get to the top of the gondola. And then you have a mile left, which seems energizing until you get to the last section of the Upper Walking Boss. And that's a black diamond ski slope. And I know I've been told by people at the resort that when they groom that in the winter, they have to attach a winch to be able so the groomer doesn't slide off. So it's that kind of steepness. And at the same time, I do have to say, I was thinking of this when I was flagging the course today, and I got to the top of the Walking Boss, and I'm just looking around, and it's really hard to argue with the view you get at the end. It's just so beautiful. You're looking out to the National Forest. You can see for hundreds of miles, I swear. So it makes that struggle to get up that last section worth it, because you just have a gorgeous finish, similar to the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race.
So this winter, when I'm skiing down Walking Boss, hopefully I'll say, geez, it was such a great experience, quote unquote, running up, which will probably turn into a fast hike. So, Chris, tell me, because this kind of leads to Paul's comment that kind of leads to one question I have, which I think you answered or Paul answered on the Facebook page, but are we most people wearing sort of trail running shoes or regular running shoes, or is there a mixture?
Yeah, so that's a good question. In fact, I fielded that question earlier this week in email from an individual who's coming up to the race, someone who was new to trail and mountain running and was asking about footwear. And what I said to her was that, generally speaking, because of the footing on this course, I think a pair of trail shoes is probably the best bet. There's a lot of this sort of service road, access road that goes to the summit that's loose, sort of gravelly, sandy, small rocks. And of course, the Nordic section is almost classic New Hampshire trail running. And I think in those situations, a pair of trail shoes is probably the best bet here, because there are times in which you're going to want as much traction as you can possibly get. In fact, Paul was describing to me how they mowed Upper Walking Boss when he was marking the course. And of course, Paul marks the course from top to bottom. He was walking down Upper Walking Boss, but they mowed Upper Walking Boss almost dead straight up. With no switchbacks, which means if it's possible for Upper Walking Boss to be more difficult, it is more difficult this year because it is straight up. And there are sections of Upper Walking Boss, again, approaching 40% grade, that's loose dirt. So I think a good pair of trail shoes with sort of a good outsole, kind of grippy lug, probably is going to be your best bet in terms of footwear.
Great. You've made me confident. I have those shoes out. Hey, speaking of Walking Boss, I think Chris or you or Paul can explain this. You have a little bit of a race within a race, like the fastest male and female athletes who go make that section the fastest get an additional reward. How does that work exactly?
Yeah, so, this year, with a combination of our timing company, Millennium Running, who's providing the chip timing, and our great sponsor, Salomon Running, what we have decided to do, because really Upper Walking Boss is the most infamous kilometer in all of New England mountain running. And we've sort of taken great length to really emphasize and highlight Upper Walking Boss, because anybody who does this race, I almost guarantee that the walkaway story will be, I cannot imagine or I cannot explain how difficult Upper Walking Boss is. So with that in mind, what we decided to do this year is we've asked our timing company, Millennium Running, to put a timing mat, an electronic chip mat, at the bottom of Upper Walking Boss. So everyone will run over that timing mat as they enter Upper Walking Boss. There is a timing mat, of course, at the finish. And so that section of the course, Upper Walking Boss, then will be separately chip timed, so to speak, and so that everyone will be able to see what their time is compared to everyone else on what is arguably the most difficult kilometer in all of New England mountain running. Our sponsor, Salomon Running, has agreed to offer $100 premiums to the fastest male and female on that section of the course. So after the race, once the results are finalized, we'll go ahead at the podium ceremony and we will announce the fastest male and female on Upper Walking Boss and present them with $100 checks each from our great sponsor, Salomon Running.
Super. Now, we mentioned that Joe Gray would be probably the favored male. Who is the favorites on the women's side?
Hey, Tom, it's Paul again. Interestingly, this year for the women, there's a lot of newcomers, along with a few veterans coming in. It's really going to be interesting to see. One person, Kim Dobson, who just won Mount Washington, certainly a lot of eyes will be on her. She's an incredible climber. There are some technical parts of this course, which I know is not as much Kim's strength, but I'm expecting her to be certainly in the mix. You then have some other people, trying to think of some of the people coming. We've got some steeplechase All-Americans like Millie Ballinger or Mary Ballinger from Tennessee is coming. Some really fast road runners, Addie Bracey from Colorado. She's got a 5K PR of 15:45. So you've got a really interesting mix. And then we also have some incredible climbers. Mandy Ortiz, who was the 2013 junior mountain running champion. She's trying to make the team, as well as New England favorite, Casey Enman. And then the hometown favorite for the race directors that I have to plug a little bit, Kim Nadeau. She actually was second at Mount Washington with the fastest time by a New Englander since 2008, when Casey Enman posted a similar time. And so she's trying to make the team. We're really excited. She's a member of Acidotic Racing, and she's really been working hard. So it's going to be really exciting. There's lots of other people as well. One of the interesting things with the field this year, as mountain running has grown and people like Joe, who do both roads and trails, Andy Wacker is another guy. He wasn't at Washington this year, but he was second last year. He does a lot of roads and trails. We're starting to see crossover and interest from a lot more road runners who are Olympic trials qualifiers and things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see. This course gets harder the higher you go up, and so you can start out pretty fast. And like, there's a couple guys in the field who have 5K times that are around 13:50. So they're pretty crazy fast, and it's going to be interesting to So it's going to be interesting to see how they do. They'll probably take it out pretty hard, but then see how they do versus the super climbers like Eric Blake and Joe Gray and Andy Wacker once the course starts getting steep.
So Eric will be there as well then.
Yeah,
that should be good. Now this question, someone asked me to ask this question. So obviously Joe and Kim won the Northeast Delta on Mount Washington. They won it the year before. Did they, and that was only 2 weeks ago, did they stay out here, or did they fly home and fly back? Or did they just train here in New Hampshire between the Mount Washington and Loon?
Most of them fly back. Joe actually went up to Canada to race in a couple mountain races up there. And then there's been a couple people, other people that have stayed in the area, but for the most part, they fly home, and part of that being the price of unfortunately it can't be a full-time job for a lot of people. So they're flying home, they're working, and then they're coming back. And so a lot of them will come in today. Some will come in tomorrow as well for the competition.
Oh, well, you know, it's too bad. Well, I was just thinking that we have to all work for a living, you know, and do all this stuff. These athletes are so unbelievable that I hope one day that they get compensated so that, you know, they wouldn't have to do that. I know it's a labor of love, but it's incredible, what they do. So when the race concludes, and as you said, the men start at 8 and the women start at 9, so the top folks that make the national team, they'll be on the podium and it'll be announced.
Yeah, and we're hoping. I was actually really excited. Technology is sneaking up into northern New Hampshire. I actually got 4G coverage at the top of Upper Walking Boss. So the U.S. Mountain Running Team usually does live tweeting during the race, which the Twitter handle is USMRT. And so we'll give updates of where the top runners are in the men's race and women's race online. In the past, we've had to do that as text, but we might actually be able to do it as 4G this year. So hopefully we'll have some pictures as well. We have two phenomenal races. Photographers there, Joe Bijay, who worked in Mount Washington, as well as Scott Mason. So they'll be sure to have some incredible pictures of the top runners, as well as the middle of the pack and back runners as well on Upper Walking Boss.
I can add too, Tom, that all of our pre-registered participants in the email that I sent this morning, or perhaps it was yesterday, there was a link to live scoring that will be provided by Millennium Running. So if they have internet connection, if they can get connected, or as soon as they can get connected, they will post live results to the link that all the pre-registered competitors received. So those folks can share that link with their friends, and folks who aren't able to come up to the race to spectate can follow along at home.
So it's a great situation. You have 10 incredible athletes who will make the U.S. Mountain Running team, such as probably Joe and Kim and, you know, Eric Brake, and then there's a bunch of the rest of us that just, please God, get me up walking boss. So it's going to be pretty fun. I hope you gentlemen can, we have a commercial break, so we have a lot more to cover, including the genesis of the name of Acidotic Racing. I want Chris to answer that. I think it's actually very appropriate. This will be a radio tease in terms of when you finish Loon, you'll be acidotic or something like that. But gentlemen, can you stay on for after commercial break?
Yeah, we sure can.
Super. Tom Raffio, please stay tuned. And if you'd like to talk to Paul or Chris, and I'm sure they'd be delighted to take phone calls from runners or anybody interested, the number is 866-823-1077. That's 866-823-1077. I'm going to ask Chris about his company name, but in reading this temperature, it's, so what's the temperature like on Sunday? I know the men start at 8 and the women start at 9, so it's a fairly early start, but does temperature, do people have to factor that in? I know when I've done the Washington Road Race, you know, over a half dozen times. Some years it's been cold, some warmed. How does that... What's the weather like on Sunday expected to be, and how should that factor into a racer's preparation?
Yeah, hey, Tom. So this is Chris. So first, as race directors, you know, at least a week before any event that we host, we start feverishly refreshing our, you know, weather online weather app to see what the upcoming weather is. Of course, it's, you know, it's one of those things that's completely out of our control. However, it does and can tend to significantly impact our participants. You know, as we look forward to what the weather looks like on Sunday, you know, Paul and I can make plans for that. If we need to provide more water, for instance, at the aid stations, those would be things that we can do. So it looks like, you know, at least for, you know, July 3rd in New Hampshire, that we're really going to catch a break in terms of the weather. Right now, the forecast for race start for both men and women look to be low 60s, but most importantly, fairly low dew points, relatively speaking, for this time of year. And really, you know, having done the Loon Mountain Race myself just one time, as luck would have it, I did it on a day that was particularly humid. I can remember there's a photo of me on Upper Walking Boss, and I have this disgusted look on my face, and I am completely soaked. I mean, it looks like, you know, somebody has dumped, you know, 3 buckets of water over my head because the dew point was so high. It looks like we probably are going to catch a break with fairly reasonable temperatures at race start and with low dew points. So I'm not sure that the heat stress is going to be as profound as it possibly could be, you know, on July 3rd. Of course, you know, Paul and I take that into account, and we try to, as best we can, particularly in championship years where the field is going to be split, we try to push the start time back earlier and earlier just to reduce the, you know, the heat stress potential for folks that, you know, for some folks that may be on the mountain for 2 hours, 2.5 hours plus. As I said, it looks like we're going to catch a break. And it looks like the weather is going to be as favorable as it possibly can be for July 3rd.
Okay, this has been really helpful. So you've made the point on the temperature, also to wear trail shoes. So in terms of, since it's going to be somewhat reasonable, and I think Paul, you would agree too, the weather at the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race a couple of weeks ago, that was the best I've ever experienced it. So if it's anything like that, that's going to be really good.
Yeah, it's funny, Tom. I'm a horrible weather fan. My best time at Mount Washington was in like pouring rain and 50-mile-an-hour winds. It was really nice at the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington race. And I think one of the nice things, it looks like temperatures are going to be in the 50s for the men's start. And by the time everybody's at the top upper walking bus, I don't think it'll even be 70, which is pretty tremendous for this time of year. Probably our biggest challenge in terms of weather on this course is the last like 2.5 miles is pretty exposed just because you're on ski trail or cat track service road. So there isn't a lot of shade. In the first 3 miles or so, there is actually a good amount of shade. But yeah, it's pretty good conditions. I do always like to say to people, though, if anybody's thinking of running it or they're already signed up and in the back of their mind they're saying, so should I carry my own water? I was told this actually by another runner when I asked them this question in a trail race I was in. I said, so should I carry my own water? And they said, if you're asking that question, the answer is always yes. Just for safety.
That's too funny.
Just because that means it's on your mind and you're wondering. And I know what I've done sometimes. I have just like a squeeze bottle, and it might not be an expensive one that I wouldn't mind like leaving at a water stop or whatever. But sometimes it's nice if you are concerned or if you're a person who doesn't do well with any kind of heat, you just bring your own water. You can fill it at the aid station, and then you don't have to worry about it.
But you're going to have the normal water stops, I assume.
Oh, yeah. We'll have water stops and everything. There's 3 water stops over the 5-mile course total. So, yeah, certainly there's plenty of water on the course. But if you're just a person who thinks, oh, I want to be sipping something all the time, I always encourage people to bring their own water.
And Tom, a quick follow-up to that with regard to aid stations. I was sort of looking at that just the other day. We're going to have 2 aid stations on course and then 1 aid station at the finish, so 3 total. The first aid station comes at around 3 miles. That's our Camp 3 aid station where there will be water. The next aid station is at the top of the gondola, which is a little past 5 miles. And then there's water at the top of North Peak where folks will finish. So 3 miles, 5 miles, and then finish. So there should be ample opportunity for people to take fluids if they need to. But Paul makes a great point. Anyone that's concerned about whether or not they will need more should carry water if that's a concern.
And in terms of the wearing what you're wearing on top, are most people going to be wearing singlets? Or what's the sort of, outfit of choice?
Yeah, I think only because it's traditionally, you know, it's a summer race. Folks will be in singlets or short sleeves or sleeveless. There may even be some men without shirts at all. So, it's really just a matter of what folks feel comfortable with, what provides them sort of the most cooling effect that they can possibly get with technical fabrics being what they are today. Even these short sleeve shirts, they get a little bit damp due to perspiration with a little bit of a breeze. And I think there will be a little bit of a breeze on Sunday. That perspiration begins to evaporate and people feel a cooling effect as a result of that.
And wearing sunblocks, I'm assuming when you get to Walking Boss, it'll be pretty sunny at that point.
Yeah, we expect there to be sort of partly cloudy skies, but sunblock is always a really great idea. You know, one of the things that contributes to dehydration issues is actually sunburn. So if you can prevent sunburn, you're probably going to be better off in terms of hydration, in terms of your ability to withstand the elements.
Now, when you finished, isn't your reward you get to take the gondola down? Isn't that true? Or are some of these super athletes also running down for the heck of it? I know Dave Dunham does that for the Mount Washington Road Race, but are most people taking the gondola down once they're done?
Yeah, I would say generally 75-80% of folks will go ahead and take advantage of the free gondola ride that we offer. Back down to the bottom. A few hardy souls, I suspect, will use the descent back down to the main lodge and then back over to Governor Adams as their cool down. I know personally, for me, when I did the race a number of years ago, taking the gondola ride back down was very, very welcome.
Right, and your reward. So, Chris, switching gears slightly, you're the founder of Acidotic Racing, and of course, congratulations, Your team did great at the Mount Washington Road Race. There's many, many successful runners on that day from your organization. And, of course, they're all wearing these great outfits that say Acidotic Racing. Of course, I went up to 4 or 5 of them. What does acidotic mean? And not one could tell me. So I went straight to the source, and you explained that. So tell us what it means. And I think it's actually pretty appropriate given the challenge of this race. So tell us what that means and how you founded it.
Yeah, sure. So Acidotic Racing was founded as an adventure racing team about 10 or 11 years ago. My brother and I started this adventure racing team, adventure racing at least a decade or so ago, because it's a team sort of sport, we needed other people, sometimes two other people, in order for us to enter these events as three or four person teams. So just between my brother and I, we began to reach out to endurance athletes that we knew and tried to recruit them onto this adventure racing team of ours. The first year that we did adventure racing, our team name was Live Free or Die, Team Live Free or Die, with us both being from New Hampshire. After that, we switched to this acidotic racing team name as an adventure racing team. You know, being acidotic, I'm an exercise physiologist, so that this sort of makes a whole lot of sense to me, and I think any athlete this will make sense to as well. When you're acidotic, being acidotic is sort of a physiologic phenomena where your body pH drops because of extreme high intensity activity. You know, your pH level drops and you become acidotic. And again, this experience is with sort of extreme, all out maximal effort. This is physiologic concept of acidotic. Well, we sort of took that physiologic concept of this all out effort and we applied it to this race team initially. So the concept then is that acidotic racing represents this community of endurance athletes throughout all of the Northeast. Who strive to give nothing less than everything they have in some really key pursuits of community, competition, and charity. Those are our three pillars. So we strive to do everything we can to benefit our local community, to support the charities that are near and dear to our hearts. And then when we get a chance to compete, no matter whether or not we're finishing on the podium or we're finishing dead last, we always say it's not where you finish, it's how you finish that counts. In other words, giving nothing less than everything you have in everything that you do.
Agreed, and that's my philosophy, and of course it's the process. And I always, Paul knows this, but I never feel, I run a lot of races, not necessarily fast, but I never feel good unless I feel like I have not left a thing out there, and then I'm about almost ready to throw up when I'm sprinting across the finish line. So I really, love the name of your company. So congratulations on that. Before we go to the next break, and I hope I can impose on you gentlemen to stay for one more segment through 5 o'clock, if that's okay. When you said that you were flagging the course, for the listening audience, what exactly does that mean?
Well, and I use the term flagging because I have two dogs that I often run with, and so if I say marking, people make comments. Flagging, that we have orange surveyor flags anywhere between every 10 feet and every 50 feet along the entire course. And because it's a trail race, we like to make sure that no matter where you are in the course, you don't have to think about it, and you'll always know that there's another flag right up ahead. So the 6.5-mile course is flagged from top to bottom with surveyor flags, and then there's also some, caution tape and things wherever there's a questionable turn, things like that.
Great. Can I impose on you two to stay after the next commercial?
Sure. And Tom, if possible, I'd love to chat about, I know Northeast Delta Dental's done some sponsorship with it, but also what we've been able to do in terms of charitable donations out of the race towards the mountain team, if that's okay.
Absolutely. We'll get to that. So please stay tuned with Paul and Chris after commercial break, and we'll get to the charitable aspect of this as well. And also, for those of you who aren't running but may want to see, what time the awards are, please stay tuned. Just real quick, for all my running friends, the Bill Luddy 5-miler is Saturday, July 16th, and the Woodchuck Classic is July 30th, and that will conclude the Capital Year Race Series. I want to get to Chris's point on the charitable aspect of this, but really quickly, if someone does want to register on the fly, although after listening to you, I'm not sure who would, they could go to the base lodge between 6 and 7:30 and get, or 6 and 7 and get registered.
Yeah, and it's Governor Adams Lodge. So if you're driving into Loon, it's kind of just on the right. You can see the brand new bridge that they're building. But, yeah, you can go there, and they have registration, like you said, starting at 6.
And if I just want to come and observe these great athletes in making the national team, what time would be the awards and where?
Well, and actually, if you want to come observe them, the awards will be around 12:30, but I would actually suggest to people, if they want to observe them, there's actually discounted gondola tickets, and people could ride the gondola to the top. If they wanted, hike to the finish. If not, they could even just hang out at the top of the gondola. Loon has a restaurant up there as well where you can get kind of snack foods and lunch stuff, and you could cheer on the runners as they're coming through. So, and plus, it's just a gorgeous place to be anytime in the summer on the top of Loon.
And given so. Joe Gray, get there early. And early. Now, you have a Facebook page, facebook.com/Loon Mountain Race, and you guys tonight are hosting a live Q&A from the Penguin Club, and that's at 8 o'clock?
Yes.
All right. I expect to hear some of that great humor. So let's get right into the charitable angle. Chris, take it away.
Well, so, you know, it's one of the pillars of Acidotic Racing, the charitable aspect. And so every race that we host benefits in part or in full a nonprofit. Typically, the nonprofits are local nonprofits, but some of the nonprofits or our more national nonprofits. For instance, since Paul and I have worked together on this Loon Mountain Race, we have contributed thousands and thousands of dollars to the U.S. mountain running team through our great friend, the American Trail Running Association. So this Loon Mountain Race directly benefits the 10 athletes, male and female athletes, that will represent the United States at the World Mountain Running Championships. We're really, really proud to be one of the top contributors to the U.S. mountain running team, again, through our charitable giving venture as it relates to a portion of the profits from the mountain race.
That's awesome. That's the great thing about running. I know we feel the same about the Mount Washington Road Race, where there, a lot of those proceeds went to the Coos County Family Health Services, and in my case, it had a dental health connection. So you've been able to sort of captivate the pillars, you know, wellness, and yet you have this unbelievable elite athletes showing up, and we're lining up next to them, and then this charitable angle. So it's kind of good too that it's over Independence Day. I think all of us should reflect on what is still wonderful, great country we have, what a great state we have, and we have this huge national event right here in Loon. So we've got about a minute and a half. Any final words of advice, either for runners or someone that wants to come on up?
Tom, this is Paul. To me, the word of advice for runners would be start out slow. You'll have plenty of time. There's no award for being fast in the first mile. I think that's always good. But for anyone who's curious about it, we do truly have runners of all ages and abilities. And really the great vibe in the mountain running community, Tom, I know you've witnessed it, but everybody from the top runner to the last runner, it's just a great community, and it can just be a fun day out to come up to the race. And when you finish, there are rare places you would have a better view than the top of Loon Mountain beginning of July.
Well, Paul and Chris, thank you. Thank you for putting on this race. I'll see you up there. Hopefully I won't be the very last, but I'll probably be near the tail end. We're going to have a lot of fun, though. Thank you for putting on this race, and I'll see you up at Loon tomorrow and Sunday, and good luck with your little fun Q&A tonight from the Penguin Club.